Epistle to the Romans, chapter 1, from the verse number 23 to the end of this chapter, hopefully. In order to make this recording easier to understand and in some way more complete, I would like to record first the reading of the scripture from the verse number 17 to the end of this chapter.
For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them.
I am confident that most of us that are sharing these recordings understand the language in the verse number 23, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things, and so on. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God, and then look at this, wherefore God also gave them, that's the following verse 24, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. They changed the truth of God into a lie, and they worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So the Creator is blessed forever. No one is going to change his glory to the worse. Only his own Son can change that glory from glory to glory, and it's more and more glorious every moment and throughout that eternity. Endlessly, forever, his glory is excelling. Nobody can damage God's glory. God is not a candidate of any democratic system that depends on the number of the people voting for him. No creature can make God less holy than what he is. What did the godless people change then? they changed their awareness of God. They turned in their hearts, in their minds, the truth of God into a big lie. And now they pretend, or perhaps by now they sincerely believe the lie, that that lie is the real truth. So the glory and the honor that the humanity owes to the Creator is now focusing on some image that they made to represent their idea of divinity and godliness. And so the first image is like a man, but not any man, not a godly man, not a holy man, but a corrupted and evil man. So what do we see among the deities of so-called ancient civilizations, like the kingdom or the empires of, let's say, Roman Empire, Egyptian Empire, Persian Empire, Babylonian Empire? When we look at their idols, their representations of their gods of some kind, what do we see? Purity, holiness, righteousness, godliness, none of the above. What do we see? We see the product of their darkened mind, some confusion, some ugly thing that is apparently a combination of a beast and a human being, or a combination of a fish and a human being, a combination of a bird and a human being. That is telling us that their imagination was absolutely corrupted. And now to that corruption, they ascribe some divine attributes. This is your God, O people of this or that empire. These are the gods that made us great. Worship them. Who is standing behind those gods? The rulers, the evildoers, those that would like to pose as gods, and they cannot make an image of the true God, so they are making any kind of image that they can make, and they will ascribe to that image some divine attributes. What do we see in that? A process of corruption. And in the first part is the corruption of mind, then the corruption of the heart, and then that corruption is manifested in their flesh, in their body, in the way they live. It's degradation. And how did that degradation came about? Each time an individual or a family or a group, small or large, decided to refuse, to reject the will of God, no matter how small or great it seemed to be, each decision of that kind is a step in the wrong direction, a step on the path of corruption, self-deception, self-destruction, actually self-preparation for the severe judgment of the Almighty God. In the preceding verses, we can see very clearly, in such a great amount and so visible, is the revelation of God's will. But the people refused, and they refused, and they refused again. And finally, in the verse number 24, we read, "Wherefore God also gave them up." He gave them up. Actually, God surrendered themselves to that direction and that intention that they have chosen themselves. God has given them up. The evidence given from heaven, the evidence of God's will, is so overwhelming, is so compelling, that it can compel us to turn toward the Lord and forsake the world. But some people are so stubborn and they refuse continually. And finally, God gave them up to uncleanness. How was that uncleanness practiced? How did that become attractive to them? Through the lusts of their own hearts. In their hearts, they desired something that to a godly person would be absolutely ugly, repulsive, unacceptable, abomination in the sight of God. They went that far to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. What does that mean, to honor our own bodies? And what does that mean to dishonor our own bodies? When we recognize and accept the fact and respect that truth, that God, our Creator, is the Creator of our body, and this body is not my private property, that's something that I owe to my Creator. And when I respect His rules and regulations, His teachings and His commandments, and I use my body in that way and manner, I honor my body, and in my body I honor my Creator. When my will is contrary to the will of the Lord, and I am in open rebellion against God, and I want to progress in that, and I am following Satan that is dragging me into the deepest hell, then I can claim that my body is my own and nobody has any right to dictate to me how I am going to use my body. So that's what I did. The truth is that God is the Creator and the owner of our whole being. And they changed the truth. They rejected the truth and they started acting as if they really truly believe a lie. They are the owners and somebody else is the Creator, some Zeus or Mars or Jupiter or whoever, any abomination, maybe Moloch, the abomination of the Moabites or Ammonites or whichever was there, or one of the modern abominations. Evolution is my Creator, you see. All that evolution needed is 40 million or 200 million years, and there I come. One way of, or that the people use to worship the creation or the creature more than the Creator is to proclaim that the lustful feelings of my body are to be worshipped. You just follow that as if it was the commandment of the Almighty. When you desire something, it feels good, go ahead. You have full right to that. Have the fulfilled life and similar ugly, ugly lies. In spite of all of that, in spite of sin and violence and corruption and demonic activities being multiplied, flooding over the cities of the plain, Sodom, Gomorrah, Adma, Seboim, even Zoar. The God who is so patient and patiently waiting, still offering to them opportunities to see the difference between godlessness and godliness, still inviting them one way or another, still giving them the blessings of the rain early and later and fruitful seasons and so on, and still waiting. The Almighty God will not wait forever. And with all of their corruption, humans will not be allowed to use God's goodness and grace as a license to sin and sin on and on. And when the fire and brimstone started falling upon the cities of the plain. When the sign of God's displeasure and severe judgment started, when the destruction of these evil places was in progress, God is blessed and holy and righteous and pure and just forever and ever. Amen. And as it was in the days of Noah, they were going after their business in their sinful ways, manners, intentions, and plans and perspectives until that day. And when flood was destroying that evil, sinful world, and all the sinners found the sign of God's displeasure and severe judgment in that great flood, God still remained holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty. And yes, in spite of all of the sin and corruption, the universe is filled with His glory. And His glory is prevailing against the shameful shamelessness of the evil spirit and his victims, the sinners. In the verse number 26, I read, "For this cause God gave them up again unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature." How did God gave them up? For this cause. Which cause? All that changing. There is a change in the verse number 23. There is a change in the verse number 25. And here is another change in the verse number 26. Whenever one human being or a family or a group, small or large, change anything from the scripture, they are turning from the path of righteousness on the path of self-deception, self-pollution, self-destruction. The path that leads into righteous indignation, wrath, and judgment of the holy and almighty God. Once they refuse to receive and obey the truth of God, God gave them up. What is left to them? Their own deception. In this record we find that the women were leading in corruption, but men were following. The women would not be leading if men were not following, and the men would not be following if they did not lust after that corruption. In the verse 27 I read, "And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another." Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves, that is in their body, in their flesh, that recompense of their error which was meet. You see, as God has created human body, the body is going to be blessed when the body is honored as the creation of God and something that we owe to God, not as our own that we use at will, but rather the property that should be also the possession of the Creator. When we refuse to honor our body by using it in the way of godliness, what is left to us? The way of godlessness. And then the body is getting corrupted more and more, and the next step or the natural reasonable result of that corruption is decay, sicknesses. Just falling apart. So far we have a few verses that tell us that God gave them up. Now in the verse number 28 is God giving them over. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Obviously, that perversion that is rampant more and more in the world today is bringing those awful consequences upon the people that practice that and also the others that are kind of complacent with that. And yet, the people are still going on and on. That corruption and that perversion is not convenient. There is a lot of physical pain. There is a lot of sickness in that. And everything is just bad and worse. And yet, the people do it. Because their mind is darkened by their false religion. And then their body has been corrupted by their evil doing, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Oh, what a list of corruption, of evil. Why would the Apostle Paul believed that the Spirit of the Lord considers this part of the Scripture so important that it should be part of the Scripture? Is it really important that we know all these evil things, unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness? On and on it goes with that list. Why? We know the old commandments. Love your neighbor as thyself. And that commandment has been placed in the New Testament just as well, because these commandments of love and respect are everlasting. If I have no love and respect for myself as loving and respecting God's creation, God's creature in myself, how can I ever learn how to love my neighbor as myself? So what happened here? The people were so corrupted that nothing good could fill their hearts or find any place, any room in their heart and mind, but only evil and more evil. But we are the disciples of the Lord. We are not in the world nor the part of this world that is so evil and so corrupted. Why is it important? They probably won't read these verses. Why is it important for us to read these verses? When we live in a corrupted world, we should beware not to accept that as normal, natural. That's the way the world is, so what can we do? Oh yes, we not only can do a lot, but we also must do a lot. Watch and pray. Keep yourselves unspotted from the world. Keep yourselves in the grace of God. Do the will of God from the heart. How did this list of evil start? It started with unrighteousness. How did it end? It ends with mercilessness. And to those that are without mercy, the judgment without mercy will be given. So that's the way to destruction. That's the path to judgment. Opposite of the path of righteousness and salvation. How important then is that I never step on that path? How important it is that I keep myself from every unrighteousness, no matter how small it might appear to be, no matter how invisible to the others, no matter how well decorated it can be, or an ugly thing packed up in a gift wrapping. Every unrighteousness is sin. And whenever I step on the path of unrighteousness, I should be quickly warned. The end of that path is God's judgment. And then unrighteousness is followed by immorality. When I continue in unrighteousness, I lose the sense of what is moral and what is immoral, what is pure and what is filthy in the eyes of my Lord. And then wickedness. See, I think that usually fornication is voluntary. But then we come to wickedness, from bad to worse. Wickedness can be often imposing my own impurity and immorality on somebody else. And then covetousness, if I don't have power over somebody to subdue the others to my unrighteous and impure desires, then I'm going to covet. I will hate them because I cannot victimize them. In fornication, the evildoer is lusting after some kind of a feeling of pleasure, enjoying that immorality. Now we come to maliciousness. There is no more pleasure for the evildoer, but that evildoer is still desiring at least to make somebody suffer. And then they become full of envy, even so much that it seems that everybody is happier than I. That's not fair. I'm going somehow to bereave them. I'm going to deprive them of that, what they have and I don't. So, the next thing, murder. And if I have no power to murder, at least I can debate. We can argue and argue and argue, and I will prove that I'm right. The next thing is deceit. All of this is deceit. Malignity. Whisperers. If they cannot do the evil and ugly deeds, they will at least whisper. And if they cannot force somebody into some wickedness, some evil doing, some suffering, at least they can somehow try to influence the others with their malignity. Oh, it goes on and on. Backbiters. I know he did something to me that I hate, and I cannot remove that. I cannot undo what has been done, but at least I will bite back. I'll get even. And then, haters of God, after all the evil that they have accumulated and piled up for themselves, these evil men, the victims of Satan, are blaming and hating God for all the evil that they themselves are doing. And then we read the next one, despiteful and proud, just to do something contrary, just to be against somebody. If I can beat somebody down, oh, that's the only good thing that I can enjoy. Proud of their own shame. Boasters, the people that are aware of their nothingness, they will boast until they pop up. And then, inventors of evil things, as if there is not enough evil in the world, they will have to become inventors of new evil things. Disobedient to parents. No one in this world anymore whom this corrupted humanity owes respect, gratitude, some loyalty, some unity. The mind of these people was so darkened that they were without understanding. If somebody spake the word of God to them, it's absolutely a foreign language. They have no understanding for that. The next satanic virtue is covenant breaking, promising and breaking the promises, lying to one another. Oh, it goes on and on. It's almost like that huge number of pigs on the hillside into which the demons entered, and all the pigs rushed themselves into the lake and perished. We read here that the natural affection was practically extinguished. They had no feeling for anything that is good. They only had feeling, affection, emotion. They only had thoughts of evil, toward evil, for evil. Finally, we read here, in all of these so-called pleasures, sinful pursuit, trying to find enjoyment in sin, and trying to make it more and more enjoyable, in all of that, they come to that level, degree, and point in their life that they are absolutely restless. They cannot be 2 minutes in one place. Along with that, they are mercilessly cruel people. In all of that thick darkness, awful darkness of that corrupted human mind and heart, there is still some awareness that God hath preserved there. In spite of their rebellion, the Lord has kept in them a knowledge of the judgment of God. That's why they are so restless. That's why they cannot be in peace with themselves, because their soul is living in fear of God's judgment. And yet, they are so corrupted and such zealous worshippers of Satan that they ignore that knowledge and they refuse to acknowledge that fact. They know that God is judging and that God has condemned all that corruption. All that commits such things are worthy of death, and that death is not just die and disappear. It's an everlasting death, permanent dying death. The utmost corruption has been manifested in this level of degradation, that for them there is no other pleasure, no other enjoyment, but to watch the others being degraded and corrupted as they themselves are. So this chapter is ending with such an awful picture, ready for the judgment of God. What shall we do? We don't want to come under the judgment of God. We want to be in Christ, delivered from that corruption, and saved, preserved, and sanctified for life everlasting, in glory, in joy, in peace, forever and ever. What shall we do? I would like to suggest a recipe, something that is not often heard nowadays, something that is not frequent practice either. And that is, make a list of all these evil things, and then go one by one, and next to each of these evils, write the most innocent evil that has been really related to that. Let me give you some example what I really mean. The first one is unrighteousness. Next to unrighteousness, I could write less than my best. Next to fornication, not the purest thing. And so on. Perhaps next to the full of envy, I could write any envy, no matter how innocent, no matter how little, no matter how insignificant, just any tiny, tiny envy. And then read through that and consider and meditate upon that list and pray to the Lord, Lord, discover me in what, when, where I have these seeds of evil in my life and mind, in my heart. If we keep ourselves from the beginning, we are not going to end up in death. If we keep ourselves in the grace of God, the God of grace is going to keep us and protect us, lead us and teach us, and make us His own and keep us in Christ, the Lord and Savior.